ज्ञानतिमनन्दस्या गणञ्जनसलकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मायां ददाति श्वापदन्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रीयुतपरकमलम् श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगना रघुनतन्तं विजीवं साद्वैतं सवरूतं परिजनाशं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगना ललिता शिविशाखान्वितंश्च हे कृष्ण करुणसिन्धु दीनबन्धु जगत्पते गोपीशा गोपिका कन्ध राधाकन्द नमोऽस्तुते तप्त कञ्चन गौरङ्गे राधिवृन्दावनेश्वरे वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये पञ्चकौपत्रुभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च पदितानं भवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीअद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द सो कर्म योग पेज 147 इन द भगवद् गीता अर्जुन उवाच जयसि चत्कर्मणस्ते मत बुद्धिर्जनार्दन तत्किं कर्मणि घोरे मम नियोजसि केशव व्यामिश्रेणेव वाक्येन बुद्धिं मोहाय शिव मे तरेकं वर निश्चित्य येन श्रेयोऽहमाप्नुयम् श्री भगवान उवाच लोकेस्मिन् द्विविधा निष्ठा पुरप्रोक्ता मयानगा ज्ञानयोगेन संख्यानं कर्मयोगेन योगिनं कर्मणं मनारम्भन् कर्मं पुरुषोष्णुते न च संन्यासनादेव सिरिं समरिगच्छति नहि कश्चिक्षणमपि चतुर्थिश्चत्य कर्मकृत् कर्यते यवसकर्म सर्वप्रकृतिजायर्गुणै कर्मेन्द्रियाणि संयम्य यास्ते मनसा स्मरन् इन्द्रियार्थन् विमूढात्मा मिथ्याचार स उच्यते यस्त्विन्द्रियाणि मनसा नियम्यारभतेऽर्जुन कर्मेन्द्रियाय कर्मयोगम् अशक्ता स विशिष्यते नियतं गुरु कर्म त्वं कर्म जायो य कर्मणा शरीरा यत्र भीचते न प्रसिद्येर कर्मणः यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणो न्यत्र लोकोऽयं कर्मबन्धनः तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसङ्गसमाचर सह यज्ञ प्रजा सृष्ट्वा पुरोवाच प्रजापतिः अनेन प्रश्यविष्याध्वम् एष वोष्ट्विष्टकामधूक् देवन् भावयथानेन ते देवा भावयन्तु वा परस्परं भवायन्ता श्रेयपारम् अवप्स्यत इष्टन् भोगानि वो देवा दशन्ते यज्ञभाविता तर्दतन्नभृदायाभ्यो यो भुङ्क्ते स्तेन एव सः यज्ञशिष्टाशिनाशन्तो मुच्यन्ते सर्वखिल्बिषाय पुञ्जते ते त्वगं पाप ये पच्यन्त्यात्मकारणात् आनाद्भवन्ति भूतानि पर्जान्यारानसम्भवा यज्ञद्भवति पर्जान्यो यज्ञकर्मसमुद्भवा karma brahmadvavam vidhi brahmakshara samudbhavam tasmat sarvagatam brahma nityam yagye patishtitam evam bravartitam chakram nanu vartayatayaya agayor indriyaramo mogam partha sajivati yastvatma ratureva syar atma triptas chamanava atmanyeva chasantushtas tashakaryam navidyate naiva tasya krite narto na krite neya kaschana na chasya sarvabhuteshu kaschirartha vyapasraya man karma naiva his oops tasmat ashakta satatam karyam karma samachara ashakto yacharan karma param opnoti purusha karma naiva hi sangsidim ashtita janakareya loka sangraham evapi sampasyan kartumarhasi yad yad acharitri srishtas tatareve trojana sayat pramanam kurute lokasthananu vartate name partasti kartavyam trishu lokeshu kinchana nanavaptam avaptavyam varta eva chakarmani yadi yaham navarteyam chatu karmanya tandrita mama vartmanu vartante manusha parta sarvasa utsireyori me loka na koryam karma chedaham sankarasya cha kartasyam upahanyam mima prajaha sakshta karmadya vidvangso yata kurvanti bharata kuryad vidvamstata shaktas chikirso loka sangraham na buddhi bedam janayed agyanam karma sanginam Josayat sarva karmani vidvan yukta samacharan prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasaha ahankara vimudatma kartam iti manyate tatva vitu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti madva nasajate Kritera guna samudha sajante guna karmashu tana kritsna vino mandan kritsna vinna vichalayet mai sarvani kasarmani sanyasyadyatma chetasa nirasir nirmamo budva yujashva vigatajvara ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha Sharavanto nasuyanto muchante tepi karmabhi yetvetad abhyasuyanto nanutishtanti mematam sarvajnana vimudamstan virinastan chetasah sadrisham chastatesvasya prakritir jnanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karisyati Indriyas indriyasyarte ragadveshav yavastito tayor navasham agachet tauyasya paripantino sreyan svadharmo viguna paradharmat svanushtitat svadharme nidram sreya paradharmo bayavaha Arjuna uvacha atakena prayoktoyam papam charati purusha Anichannapi Varshneya Balarivani Yojita Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Kama Esha Krodha Esha Rajoguna Samudbhava Mahasano Mahapapma Vidyenam Yavarinam Dumena Vriyate Vanir Yatardarsho Malenacha Yato Benavrito Garbas Tatate Nedam Avritam Avritam jnanam etena jnanino nityavarina kamarupena konteya tusparena nalena cha Manobudhir asya dishtanam uchyate etarvi mohayat yesha gyanam avritya dehinam tasmatvam indriyan yadau niyam yabaratarshava papmanam vrajihi yenam gyanavijnanasanam indriyani paranyahur indriyebhya parammana manasastu parabudhir yobude paratastusa vambude parambudva samstabhyatmanam atmana jai shatru mahabaho kamarupam durashadam. So let's chant five each. Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want me to engage in this ghastly warfare if you think that intelligence is better than fruit of work? My intelligence is bewildered by your equivocal instructions. Therefore, please tell me decisively which will be most beneficial for me. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Not merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment.
One who restrains the senses of action, but whose mind dwells on sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. On the other hand, if a sincere person tries to control the active senses by the mind and begins karma yoga in Krishna consciousness without attachment, he is by far superior. Perform your prescribed duty, for doing so is better than not working. One cannot even maintain one's physical body without work. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed, otherwise work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way you will always remain free from bondage. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna." Sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you everything desirable for living happily and achieving liberation.
The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. The demigods, being pleased by sacrifices, will also please you, and thus, by cooperation between men and demigods, prosperity will reign for all. In charge of the various necessities of life, the demigods, being satisfied by the performance of yajna, sacrifice, will supply all necessities to you. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. The devotees of the Lord are released from all kinds of sins because they eat food which is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. All living bodies subsist on food grains, which are produced from rains. Rains are produced by performance of yajna, sacrifice, and yajna is born of prescribed duties. Regulated activities are prescribed in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the all-pervading transcendence is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice.
My dear Arjuna, one who doesn't follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. Therefore, without being attached to the fruits of activities, one should act as a matter of duty, for by working without attachment, one attains the supreme. Kings such as Janaka attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Therefore, just for the sake of educating the people in general, you should perform your work.
Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. And whatever standard he sets by exemplary acts, all the world pursues. O son of Pritha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three planetary systems. Nor am I in want of anything, nor have I a need to obtain anything, and yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. For if I ever fail to engage in carefully performing prescribed duties, O Parth, certainly all men would follow my path. If I did not perform prescribed duties, all these worlds would be put to ruination. I would be the cause of created unwanted population, and I would thereby destroy the peace of all living beings. As the ignorant perform their duties with attachment to results, the learned may similarly act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path.
So as not to disrupt the minds of ignorant men attached to the fruitive results of prescribed duties, a learned person should not induce them to stop work. Rather, by working in the spirit of devotion, he should engage them in all sorts of activities for the gradual development of Krishna consciousness. The spirit should, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by three modes of material nature. One who is in the knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O mighty armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between work and devotion and work for fruitive results. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, the ignorant fully engage themselves in material activities and become attached, but the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior due to the performance lack of knowledge. Therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me with full knowledge of me, without desire for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight.
Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow these teachings faithfully, without envy, become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. But those who, out of envy, disregard these teachings and do not follow them regularly are to be considered perfect of all knowledge, befooled and ruined in their endeavors of perfection. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he has acquired from three modes. What can repression accomplish? There are principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of such attachment and aversion, because they are stumbling blocks on the path of self-realization. It is far better to discharge one's prescribed duties, even though faultily, than another's duties perfectly. Destruction in the course of performing one's own duty is better than engaging in another's duties, for to follow another's path is dangerous.
Arjuna said, O descendant of Rishni, by what is one impelled to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? The Lord said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, It is lust only, Arjuna, which is born of contact with the material mode of passion and later transformed into wrath, and which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the living entity is similarly covered by different degrees of this lust. Thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him.
Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb this great symbol of sin, lust, by regulating the senses, and slay this destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And he, the soul, is even higher than the intelligence.
One more.
Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the material senses, mind and intelligence, O mighty armed Arjun, one should study the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, Krishna consciousness, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust.
Does anything stand out in anyone's mind about any of these verses that we just read? Anything in particular? Yes, Rakshit Prabhu. Can you pass the microphone up, please, to Rakshit?
Well, one of the things would be the advice that he's giving to Arjun in this chapter to get up and fight, to do his prescribed duty. Because Arjun himself, as he inquired earlier in the chapter, was confused. The Krishna before was imparting to him this knowledge about the self and the analytical knowledge about the soul that he had already narrated in the second chapter. And in the second chapter, he had also advised him to get situated in the soul. And so Arjun was now confused that Krishna was also asking him to act. And so he asked for that clarification. And Krishna goes through several verses here by saying that a conditioned soul who has taken the body needs to work, needs to act. And you are a kshatriya, you are a soldier, a warrior. You have been confused, I know that. You are on the battlefield. But you cannot run away from it. You will need to fight, and that way you'll be carrying on your prescribed duty, and that is also a part of your dharma. This is something that Krishna is telling him. I thought that struck out in the chapter.
Very nice. Thank you, Rakshit, for that summary of the chapter. Very nicely explained. And that actually brings us to couple of verses, one in particular, which is text 30, and I think we'll read the text and purport to that verse. after we chant the Sanskrit together. That's on page 176. Everyone there? Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasa nirasir nirmamo budva yujyashva vigatajvara. Let's do the word for word. Mayi, unto me, sarvani, all sorts of karmani, activities, sanyasya, giving up completely, adhyatma, with full knowledge of the self, chetasa, by consciousness, nirasi, without desire for profit, nirmama, without ownership, bhutva, so being, yujyasva, fight, vigatajvara, without being lethargic. Translation: therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. I say, you say, therefore, O Arjuna, surrendering all your works unto me, with full knowledge of me, without desires for profit, with no claims to proprietorship, and free from lethargy, fight. Srila Prabhupada's purport. This verse clearly indicates the purpose of Bhagavad Gita. The Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. Such an injunction may make things a little difficult. Nevertheless, duties must be carried out with dependence on Krishna, because that is the constitutional position of the living entity. The living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord, because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. Arjuna was therefore ordered by Sri Krishna to fight as if the Lord were his military commander. One has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Arjuna did not have to consider the order of the Lord. He had only to execute his order. The Supreme Lord is a soul of all souls. Therefore, one who depends solely and wholly on the Supreme Soul without personal consideration, or in other words, one who is fully Krishna conscious, is called adhyatma chetas. Nirasi means that one has to act on the order of the master, but should not expect fruit of results. The cashier may count millions of dollars for his employer, but he does not claim a cent for himself. Similarly, one has to realize that nothing in the world belongs to any individual person, but that everything belongs to the Supreme Lord. That is the real purport of Mayi, or unto me. And when one acts in such Krishna consciousness, certainly he does not claim proprietorship over anything. This consciousness is called nirmama, or nothing is mine. And if there is any reluctance to execute such a stern order, which is without consideration of so-called kinship, kinsmen, in the bodily relationship, that reluctance should be thrown off. In this way, one may become vigatajvara, or without feverish mentality or lethargy. Everyone, according to his quality and position, has a particular work type of work to discharge, and all such duties may be discharged in Krishna consciousness, as described above. That will lead one to the path of liberation. I really like this chapter of Bhagavad Gita because it is somewhat of a dilemma. I mean, we have to act. Several verses in this chapter have explicitly explained that we're not the doers. Under the influence of false ego, we think we are the doers. And this false ego is it's very subtle. And we accept it upon accepting this material body. And we go through this whole life convinced by our limited knowledge and by our association that we are a product of matter and that material acquisitions are all, are ours. This is a totally illogical assumption if we look at it analytically. As Srila Prabhupada mentions here, that the living entity cannot be happy independent of the cooperation of the Supreme Lord. Why? Because the eternal constitutional position of the living entity is to become subordinate to the desires of the Lord. So this is one of the keys in Bhagavad Gita, to unlock the door of our consciousness that will open up the floodgates of spiritual understanding. And as that spiritual understanding becomes manifest, then we understand intrinsically our constitutional position. It's just like Prabhupada gives the example that someone's eating, you know, you're eating and no one has to come up and say, oh, you're satisfied, you're full. You know, just by eating, when you've had enough, when you're satisfied. So similarly, in devotional service, because we're executing our duties under the direction, under superior direction, because it's our constitutional position, not only does it give us realization of who we are, but it also gives us a great, credible feeling of peace and happiness and solace that no one else within this world can get, because it's coming directly from the soul. In the ninth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it says that this knowledge is the most, is the king of education. It's the most secret of all secrets. And because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it's a perfection of religion. Religion today is something that is completely juxtaposed to science. And science makes all endeavors in terms of mainstream science to keep it that way. And when the even the idea comes up of what they call intelligent design, then it's very much, it brings up all the defenses of the scientists, and immediately all the major scientists come forward and cite all kind of reasons why intelligent design shouldn't even be considered. And the part of the problem with the evolution of our civilization today is that, I'll say so-called religion, because, you know, religion as it's developed over the ages is not, if we understand the essence of religion, is not actually true religion, but is, according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it actually can be considered Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, because it's motivated by a desire to enjoy separate from God. And as long as that desire is there, then we cannot become fulfilled as human beings. And the path of God realization becomes very confusing. Such a in-depth description is given in Srimad Bhagavatam in the very first verse. Jamad Janmadyasyayataha, that the absolute truth is that from which everything has emanated. And then it goes on to explain the personality of Godhead, who is abhigyaha and is svarat. He is completely conscious of everything that's happening within this creation and without as well. And he is svarat at the same time. He's independent, completely independent. And so everything is working so wonderfully, so amazingly, wonderfully, and perfectly under Krishna's perfect arrangement that it's very difficult, unless one has some degree of piety, has some degree of good karma, so that one's intelligence is a little bit clear, then it becomes obvious. For the devotee, it becomes obvious that everything within our existence is controlled and maintained by the Lord. Every little thing that happens. Just the other day, I was, after the Saturday program, I was going out and I was in my dhoti and I was going to the store to buy some things. And as I was checking through the counter there, I was just kind of observing how everything is happening so wonderfully by Krishna's external energy. But I was also seeing how I was noticing that because this is something that we notice as devotees more and more, is that we start noticing how Krishna is acting even so wonderfully, even through the material energy. But when Krishna, it says that when the cause of all causes becomes known, then everything knowable becomes known and nothing remains unknown. And so I just noticed it too, and it happens in my own life. Is the more Krishna conscious I am, when I come across a duty I'm performing, or I come across some problem I experience, that as I allow the light of Krishna to shine on it, automatically everything becomes easier. And I noticed this as the other day as I was going shopping. I noticed that people were, as I was checking out, it seemed anyway that they were able to do, that everything happened so much faster and such and so smoothly. And I could actually get kind of a sense that, you know, Krishna, like Krishna says, he's giving us intelligence. And so I could understand how the more we act according to Krishna's direction, the more our life becomes easier on every different level. And this is a special mercy of Krishna. This is a special mercy of this process of devotional service. And this is a great mystery. And this is why, of course, this chapter of Bhagavad Gita is so good. And it's very interesting also because Bhagavad Gita was spoken not in a classroom environment, but it was spoken on a battlefield. And it wasn't spoken to a brahmana. It was spoken to a warrior on the battlefield and just before a huge battle was supposed to take place. And so the analogy really fits. And Prabhupada explains that here. He says that the Lord instructs that one has to become fully Krishna conscious to discharge duties as if in military discipline. And so it's the order of the Lord which should have significance in our life. And it's that order that we're day by day working towards fulfilling on a more and more intimate or significant level. It says, and it's so easy to make, the process of Krishna consciousness is so easy. It's so easy to make spiritual advancement. But there are a few tricks, as Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita also, that, you know, one of those tricks or one of the important things is controlling the mind. Because the mind is controlling the body. And if we don't have control of the mind by superior intelligence, and that superior intelligence being engaged in Krishna's service and taking dictation then from Super Soul, then the body may act in so many ways that will cause us to lose our direction. We take it for granted very much, especially in youth, the power of the mind. But as we get older and as the mental facility gets weaker and weaker, then the ability to control the mind becomes more difficult. The body starts acting in different ways as towards old age and as disease sets in, and it becomes more and more difficult. Therefore, the Vedas say that atato brahma jigyasa, that now is the time for self-realization. And the more we imbibe this intensity of, because Krishna consciousness, it's a very intense kind of a thing. when we engage in devotional service, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're actually in the personal association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's very intense. And to help kind of, you know, bring us to that level of intensity, therefore Krishna has selected the Bhagavad Gita, his own words to be spoken in a battlefield environment. And again, Prabhupada says here that one has to discharge duties in Krishna consciousness under the direction of the Lord as if in a military discipline. And that's why it also becomes easier in the association of devotees, especially in a temple environment, because the program is very structured, and so there's no room to space out. And that's, of course, the great benefit of coming to the temple and engaging in the programs. I notice it myself, just even though I have my sadhana in the morning and I have my deity worship, still when I come to the temple, the power of the association with so many devotees doing the same thing at the same time, because this is, we're all in Lord Chaitanya's army together. And of course, here in ISV, it's also more and more, you can really realize that mood even more, because the Sangirtan mood is really manifest here with the monthly Sangirtan festivals and all the devotees going out on book distribution. And this, of course, is the secret of making advancement in spiritual life also, is finding out what the desire of the spiritual master is and satisfying those desires. And of course, we know that the most intimate desire of Srila Prabhupada is to spread Krishna consciousness, and that the best way to do that is by distributing his books. And so this discipline of Krishna consciousness is something that, as we work on it, it gets easier and easier. Easier and easier because we are not learning something completely new, actually, because our constitutional position is we're all devotees of Krishna. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. And so as time goes on in Krishna consciousness and we execute our duties and we associate with devotees and we follow the rules and regulations and we endeavor for increasing our service, then our relationship with Krishna becomes more and more intimate. And we start realizing more and more on a daily basis our relationship with Krishna. And it becomes easier and easier. Things that were almost impossible in the beginning become very, very easy. And to the point where we start realizing that Krishna is present in everything. And our love develops to the point where we fall completely in love with Krishna. And then we start realizing our spiritual nature and our relationship with Krishna. And so it all begins from, this is very important, understanding how activities, although we're engaging our bodies and our senses in activities, that they're liberating us. Whereas the same activities performed for a mundane purpose is completely entangling people more and more in the material world. And so this is a great mystery, and this mystery is starting to become revealed in these beginning chapters of Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada says that one has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Supreme Lord, and at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. Again, one has to sacrifice everything for the goodwill of the Lord, and that at the same time discharge prescribed duties without claiming proprietorship. And one may look at that and think, oh my God, how am I going to be able to do that? How can I actually sacrifice everything for Krishna and at the same time execute my duties without thinking that I'm the proprietor? And indeed, this false ego is very, very subtle. So it's something that has to be practiced and has to be practiced regularly. And this ultimately, this realization is given by Krishna. Everything depends, Srila Prabhupada says, on our activities, the consciousness of our activities while we're performing those, and our attitude while we're performing those activities. And so we have to, no matter what our activities are, no matter how much engagement we have with the material energy, with our families, we have to make space for Krishna. And when we make space for Krishna, and when we consult with Krishna in our everyday activities, then he starts becoming more and more present in those activities. And we start to realize how to do this, how to discharge our duties with the spirit of sacrifice and at the same time not claiming proprietorship. And so this, there's several ways to do that. One way, which is very important and very essential, is, of course, our sadhana enables us to come to these higher realizations. And the chanting of Hare Krishna is especially potent and something we should never take for granted, because if we chant with the proper mentality, Krishna is actually there personally, and he will help us at every stage. The other thing is reading Bhagavad Gita daily, even if it's just one verse, and meditating on the meaning, or reading through a chapter of Bhagavad Gita and the verses, and then, you know, we'll find our mind gradually, you know, one or two verses may come up through the day, and we'll think of them, and we'll get realizations from that. But all these things are really important, because the more association we have with the Lord, the more everything will become easier in our life. But we have to, accept some discipline. And if we accept that discipline, as it said, that may be like poison in the beginning, but in the end it will be just like nectar. And the result will be we will have higher and higher progressive realizations and experience higher and higher levels of spiritual happiness in association with the Lord. So does anyone have any questions or anything they would like to bring up? Yes, Prabhu. Is the microphone here, can be passed to this devotee. Please, thank you.
Just a simple question. How to identify Swadharma?
How to identify what?
Swadharma.
Swadharma. One's personal dharma. How to identify that?
Like, we often it happens that we may have different qualities, and some of the qualities we can leverage to engage ourselves in certain activities to earn our livelihood. So how to identify such a quality and accept it as our sadharma?
That's a very good question. The first thing that comes to mind, and this is what Srila Prabhupada is putting so much stress to in every verse in this purport in the Bhagavad Gita, is that ultimately we have one dharma. I'm saying ultimately. And that dharma is to surrender to Krishna. Krishna says, sarva dharmam parichaja. Amekam saranam raja, ham tvam sarva pape bhyo mokshaye shami masu chaha. So that's our real dharma, is to surrender to Krishna and to engage in his service, because that's who we are. We're not these physical bodies. We are spiritual beings. And we can only be happy, we can only be satisfied if we engage in Krishna's service. So that's our ultimate dharma. And whatever other dharmas we have, because we have these physical bodies, those dharmas are meant to bring us up to that dharma. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna also explains the symptoms of one who no longer has to execute his dharma in terms of his bodily requirements, right? And when one gains that level of spiritual advancement and one becomes detached from matter, then he has no duty to fulfill. But back to Swadharma, in the 18th chapter, it also explains that the qualities of each person, Krishna explains, they indicate which of the, you know, whatever qualities one has determines what kind of dharma one will execute. And he says, swabhava dharma, swabhava, that these qualities are actually born of one's own nature. So it's a very natural thing. So one is, as you say, is inclined towards a certain kind of work. And so that depends on one's own psycho-physical makeup in terms of what activities one should perform. And it says that it's very important, we were just reading in this third chapter, that one perform one's own prescribed duties rather than act in another capacity. Someone may be inspired by someone else, and they may have a different swadharma, and then one acts in their capacity, and that's actually a dangerous thing. So one has to act according to one's own nature. And that will make one happy. And through that, as one applies the principles of Krishna consciousness, through that, then even though it's a material dharma, one will start experiencing a transcendental element to that, as that's engaged in the service of the Lord. Because this is our philosophy, as Srila Rupa Goswami gives it to us, is that real renunciation in this age means not to necessarily detach ourselves from a material thing, but to identify that so-called material thing as belonging to Krishna, as belonging to Krishna's energy. And if we can utilize that in Krishna's service, then utilize that in Krishna's service. Just like this body we have is a material thing. But we can't artificially become detached from it, but we can utilize it in Krishna's service. And then the body actually becomes spiritualized. It regains some of its original spiritual essence, being having the quality of being emanated from Krishna. And even materially, the material elements are Krishna's elements. And so it actually helps us then make spiritual advancement. I don't know if that answered your question at all. Almost. I mean, how do we understand exactly what activity is right for us? I mean, it's a very confusing thing, because we live in a culture that's based on the principle of gross sense gratification, getting as much as we can as fast as possible. And, you know, if we examine the different occupations there are today, I would hazard a guess that probably over 90% of them are activities which are in some way or other destroying our planet, you know, or just really make very little sense in terms of actual activities that are beneficial and gradually elevating for human beings. Just like Prabhupada talks about how living in like a farm type atmosphere, he says farming is a very noble occupation. And he said it's, you know, living in that environment is like living on the lap of material nature and depending on Krishna. And in that environment, it's natural to develop a sense of Krishna consciousness, because you see that the farmer sees that he's planting seeds, you know, and they're getting watered. And sure, he's doing a few things like digging up the dirt and this and that, but the seeds are planted and the plants are growing. The plants are growing, and he's cutting down the plants, and you know, he's earning his livelihood from all these things that are based on something completely separate from what he can do himself. Nowadays, because of manufacturing, because of all these artificial ways to produce things and to engage people, it's created such an artificial lifestyle that there's just a lot of confusion. Therefore, fortunately for us, we've been given such a simple process that all we have to do is chant Hare Krishna and associate with devotees, study Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, and you know, go on with our external, you know, things we have to do in life and our duties. But at the same time, you know, it's incumbent upon us to progressively realize who we are and act in the capacity of servants of Krishna. And then so whatever we're doing becomes less important. And the, you know, ultimate purpose of what we're doing becomes more important, because everything we do now is a test for the time of death. And the time of death, we've been reading a very nice section in the Bhagavatam during Saturday morning classes, and that is about Bhishmadev is about to leave his body. And so Satyadev has been giving a very nice class, because, of course, he worked in an ambulance, and he saw a lot, dealt with a lot of people who are about to leave their body. And, you know, we take so much for granted. So this is all a testing ground now for when the point of death comes. So we have to just apply ourselves as best we can. And Bhagavad Gita is the science of application. And so the more we study it, and especially in the association of devotees, and the more we apply it to our sadhana, and you know, the more we'll actually be able to reap the results and feel Krishna consciousness becoming more active in our everyday life. Any other questions? So should we stop here, Roxanne? Okay.